You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Often people who don't live in Idaho don't understand that Idaho politics isn't always just liberals versus conservatives. A new book takes a look at what makes Idaho politics tick, including how morality and individualism each has something to do about opposing influences into how government here in our state works. The book is called Idaho Politics and Government, Culture Clash and Conflicting Values in the Gem State. With me today is the author of the book, Dr. Jasper LaCalzi. He is professor and chair of the Department of Political Economy at the College of Idaho. Always good to have you in, Jasper.
Yes. I have something to talk about now.
Yeah, I know, right? Now you have something to talk about. Okay, so tell me about the book and what made you decide to write this?
Well, a few years back, I teach class on state and local politics, so mm-hmm. I've used books in the past, Randy Staples, Jim Weatherby's books, but they were getting kind of old and they weren't doing exactly what I wanted. I said, gosh, where am I going to find a book that does what I want to do? And they're like, maybe I have to do that. So that's really pushed it. I had a sabbatical from the college, which was very helpful, and I'd been in the state for almost 25 years, and I'm there like, maybe I really can start to figure this out. When I first came here, my colleague gave me Randy Staples' book, Paradox Politics, just from the early 90s. And it really said, hey, things are different here. It's mm-hmm. it's difficult to understand. So I'd spent like 20 years drawing, and I thought, well, maybe I have it a little bit figured out now, and I could create this book, which I really hoped. What I also wanted to do was not just have an academic book that is for professors and the mm-hmm. 18 people in the whole country read it, but to make it so it's also accessible to people just in general who are interested in Idaho politics. That was a bit of a problem with the publisher when they sent it out for reviews. I had all the academics read, this isn't, you know, you've got to do this. And they're like, no, I don't want to bore people.
Yeah.
I want to try to get the balance. And that's what I was trying to do, is make it so it is an academic book, but it's not so arcane that anybody who's interested in Idaho politics wouldn't understand it.
And, you know, I think it's interesting, as you've been here for 25 years, and you said it basically took you this long to truly understand.
At least sort of understand.
Yeah. Well, and is some of it because, I mean, politics in Idaho is unique.
Yeah, I think in some ways it is. I think mm-hmm. The way I look at it in the book might be able to apply to other places, but I think it is in a number of ways. When there's a conflict here, and that's what the idea with a culture clash and conflicting values, it's not partisan. Like, there's hardly any Democrats, so it's not going to be a Republican-Democratic thing. And it's not liberal-conservative, because there's 80 different kinds of conservatives. There's true conservative, and everyone has their own view of conservative. So what I looked at was, when I looked at different issues, individuals, and even institutions like the state legislature, I saw that they split more between people who focus more on the individual mm-hmm. as compared to focusing on society. What's most important to you? What's your primacy? Is it to do what's best for the individual or for society? And I got this kind of stole some from my former professor, Daniel Elazar, at Temple University. And he's not with us anymore, so he won't criticize me like he used to in class. But that's how I see this more, is these splits are, do you want to lean for more protection of, more liberty for individuals, or do you want to limit individual sums to do what's best for society? And so created kind of a continuum between mm-hmm. those two poles as compared to parties or liberal or conservative.
And you really don't pull any punches in this book, because the first thing out of the gate is about you do a history of a controversial abortion bill from 2012. And, you know, and it was the failure of this bill, but kind of it kind of shows, could we say, the strange nature of Idaho politics?
Well, you look at it, and it was the ultrasound bill.
Yeah.
People remember that, so that any woman who was going to get an abortion had to get an ultrasound first, kind of as a consent.
Right.
To make sure you had informed consent. Well, people from the outside are saying, okay, this is a pro-abortion, this is red Idaho, it'll pass easily. But there's people in the legislature, I mentioned Sean Kehoe and Daryl Bowles, two not pro-abortion, pro-life mm-hmm. or anything like that type people, who basically fought and said, should government be involved in this decision with individuals where we're forcing them to do things? It really got into problem when it was a early term pregnancy and it was much more evasive procedure. And eventually it passed the House, but never came up for, or passed the Senate, never came up for a vote in the House, because there was too many who were looking at this as this is government overreach,
mm-hmm.
and we're more concerned with the individual. So that's why I thought, and I have other examples in right. there about how if you look at issues, they split much more along those types of issues. Is this for the individual or for society?
I'm speaking with Dr. Jasper Lacalze, professor and chair of the Department of Political Economy at the College of Idaho, about his new book. It's called About Idaho Politics and Government, Culture Clash and Conflicting Values in the Gem State. What do you want people to fully understand about Idaho politics? And what I mean by that is because we have so many people moving in here, and I think people make many assumptions mm-hmm. about Idaho and our government and politics.
And yeah, I don't make assumptions. Study it first. And we were talking beforehand. When I first got here and I saw how the Joint Finance Appropriations Committee, the JFAC, mm-hmm. I said, this is crazy. This is stupid. Why are you doing it? When you look at it, though, when you really see how it works, it's like, this is efficient. This works so much better. And especially if you're going to have a short session, this is the way you want to do it. Talked about the reapportionment commission, that you have three Republicans and three Democrats on there.
That's how are you ever going to get anything done?
And it gets done all right. the time because it forces you to compromise. So that's why I try to show here that to get people, even people who have been here for a long time, to look at some of these institutions, because I have it split up kind of like there's a state legislative chapter, a executive branch, local mm-hmm. governments, things like that, that you might understand this, but I think there's some aspects that I'll bring in there that you might not have known. But then I'll look at it in a different perspective that you might not have looked at it before. So, legislature does that. Well, this might be a better explanation mm-hmm. on why they do it. So I think, it does help with – I think it'll help with new people. Everyone will love this.
But I think what's interesting, too, and we were talking about this before we came on air, was also this idea of conservative versus liberal. But it goes beyond that in the sense that almost every lawmaker that I have had on this program talks about how our legislature – is made up in a way that they have to figure out a compromise. And I thought something that you said was interesting was that, but it's not just about Democrats and Republicans compromising. You have to compromise within the party.
Yeah, you have to. And that's where I look at this. You can't just look at this as Republicans. If it was just Republicans, Democrats, the session would last about a week.
Everything would get done real quick.
But there's the splits within the Republican Party. And again, I think those splits are more, and it's a little bit geographical, but I don't get into that too much. The more individualistic Northern Idaho, the more society-based communitarian Eastern Idaho. So even though both very Republican, you're going to get a legislator who's going to be very different from that. And that's where I think they do have to compromise. And that's, again, why I look at this as not just two extremes, one or the other, on off a dichotomy, but it's more of a continuum. So you can compromise if it's that way. Well, if we make this a little more favorable to the individual, will that bring you along? It's not a type of an issue where it's an on-off type of thing for most of these issues. Can we make them? But then, like the Sonic, there was no middle ground. So,
right.
So, but on many issues, you can find somewhere in the continuum where you can get a majority of people to support it.
So then how does Boise play into this? Because I think a lot of times when we look at Idaho politics, everyone makes this assumption, or most people, should I say, that Boise is that big liberal pocket and the rest of Idaho is so very different. I tend to argue to say there are pockets in Boise.
Yeah. And that's what other people have looked at this before, looking at it at the individual versus communitarian side of Idaho, try to do it geographically. And I don't think that completely works. And I think it's instead you have to look at the individual. And I use politicians, whether it's people in the past like Bob Smiley and Don Samuelson, mm-hmm. or even Phil Batt and Cecil Andrews and such like that, but also with different issues. It's not – people want to like paint things because they want it simple. This is – it's not so simple. People may think that, Idaho is so simple to understand. No, 25 years and I'm just starting to get it now, I think.
Well, and what's interesting too is talking about Cecil Andrews is that – I mean, it's been a long time, but Idaho did elect a Democratic governor. I mean, there has been that type of leadership.
And what I look at in my book is also that you have the two extremes, the individual, which I call the Jeffersonian, and the communitarian, I call Hamiltonian. But also there's a group in the middle that's right in the middle, the pragmatists, I call you Wilsonians from James Wilson. That's where C. Sandras is. That's where Phil Batt is. And if you look at those two, one's Republican, one's Democrat, but gosh, they're basically, they govern the same way. They would sometimes fall on one side, fall on the other. So they were the least ideological, the most pragmatic. So, like I said, they're kind of the sweet middle, and they're the one, they're the type of leaders who are the best, who don't just jerk from one side all the time and saying, oh, well, this is my ideology, I always answer this way. Mm. Instead, what's best, what will work. And that's why, again, party doesn't fit as much as, again, those two, best of friends, play golf together.
Right.
You saw how they dealt with the nuclear waste issue was very mm-hmm. similar, and they worked together with that. That's why, that's where I see they were both more in the middle. Let's be pragmatic. I'm not going to always fall one way or the other.
I appreciate you coming in today, Jasper, and talking about this. My guest today, Dr. Jasper LaCalzi, professor and chair of the Department of Political Economy at the College of Idaho, been talking about his new book, Idaho Politics and Government, Culture Clash and Conflicting Values in the Gem State. It is available now if you want to buy it.
It's at Amazon ran out, I think, that you can't.
It's so popular that
it's
Amazon.
It's so popular. They ran out. But you can also go, it's University of Nebraska Press. So you can go right to University of Nebraska. It's like Harry Potter. It's everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everybody's there.
You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette.